Good morning on this Tuesday morning. Now, listen, I'm going to go ahead and go right into it, what I want to talk to you about this morning. And I want to tell you of a new change that's coming to our prayer calls. I would like on Wednesdays for you guys to each prepare a 10-minute sermon. I would like for you guys to give back to us. So starting on Wednesday, starting tomorrow, it's going to be, all of you are going to be teaching us. You're going to be sharing with us and with the world, so you won't say your name, but it'll be your voice. And you can share whatever the Holy Spirit gives you. You know, all I ask is don't promote people or other ministries, anything like that, you know. Just give pure word what the Holy Spirit gives you. And I think you'll be surprised how in sync everybody probably is. And so we will start this tomorrow. So tomorrow, you won't hear from me on Wednesdays. It's going to be you guys pouring into everybody else, okay? This is a good training session for you, for y'all to prepare a 10-minute sermon, okay? So go ahead and ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want us to speak on tomorrow? If you're married like Ardina and Bruce, if you want it to be just one of you speaking or two of you speaking, you know, and I do ask that it not be news, that it be only the word. So y'all go ahead and just plan on that for tomorrow, okay? So let's go ahead and pray, and I'm going to go ahead and get into what the Lord has to say today. Lord, we just thank you so much for the opportunity to be with you today, Lord. We thank you that you are preparing your church, Lord, right now, to be able to be ready in season and out of season. You're preparing her to be the strong bride for what is coming, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that we know that we're not going to be able to be together in the future somewhere. And we know that it's going to be just us and you, Lord. So right now, we're just very, very thankful for this time that we have together. We're very, very grateful for this avenue to be able to come together and share the word together and to be able to be in one mind and one accord. So thank you and give you all the praise, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So once again, to all you new guys that are calling in, we're going to change the platform on Wednesdays to where the bride, and especially the Bible college students, okay, definitely I expect all the Bible college students to participate in this. And what you'll do on Wednesdays is you will call in and have a 10-minute word. 10 minutes to share the Bible. I will stop you at 10 because we have a lot of people, okay? Because some people, you know, they can get long-winded like me. Pastor's laughing at me, but so be ready to give. I mean, even if the Lord leads you to just pray for people, you know, whatever it is, but you have the floor for 10 minutes every Wednesday. Everybody will participate, and you will give back to the bride. And that way, y'all can hear from one another. You can pour into one another, and that will be on Wednesdays. So starting tomorrow, every one of you will have a 10-minute platform. It will be recorded, so don't say your name, unless you don't care, you know. But when I come to you, I won't say your name. I'll just hit the button and it'll say, you know, you are unmuted. And then you will just begin your sermon. Okay. So this is a great way for you guys to, be prepared to be ready in season and out. Okay. So I really, you know, hope that everybody will participate. And I think you'll all see how uniform everything will end up being, you know, one mind and one accord. So as I said, all I ask is that you don't use other people's material, you know, don't mention other ministries or anything like that. Let it come from pure you and the Holy Spirit. Okay, now today let's pray real quick. Lord, we just thank you for the time together, and I pray you anoint me to preach the word this morning, Lord. And I pray that you give me the words to say and use my mouth for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, now, as the days that are coming forward right now are getting so serious, okay, you know, with all of the deception, and it is definitely getting worse, especially on YouTube with all the fake videos going up, deceiving people who's saved and, you know, the fake revival and all that other stuff. You guys need to understand a very key principle this morning, okay? And the principle is this. It's called agreement. Now, you're going to have to understand what that means, because there's many ways that the enemy is trying to get you to come in agreement, okay? Now, the other day, whenever I had that interaction with that man that I told you guys about that ended up cussing me out or whatever, I knew from the moment he called through discernment that this was a trap. Because the way that he was talking to me, it was like he was fishing me for information. But not only that, but it was like he was fishing me for agreement topics. So like he'll say, you know, something, and he'll be wanting me to say yes or I agree or something like that. And he was talking about very conspiracy stuff, okay, that I have avoided in my ministry, because I was a White House correspondent and I always tried to keep up a certain rapport and professionalism the best I could. And I did not want to come across as a conspiracy theorist, a conspiracy person. You know, this is why this is why I try very hard, you know, to prove everything I said and to back up what I said, okay? And, but anyway, so he would try to trick me into these agreements on the phone. So that's my first warning to you guys, is to be aware of this, okay? You know, do not release out of your mouth agreement. You know, this is what I was telling you about the COVID. Even if you ever had a symptom, which was used to be classified as the regular cold, but now they've restructured it under this name because of their agenda, okay? If you did have any of those symptoms, don't ever come in agreement with that title. Remember I told you guys about LGBTQ. LGBTQ is a perversion acronym of sexual appetites, okay? They want to slap that on the forehead of people, and they want people to come in agreement with that identity, with that acronym over their life. So when they say, I am an LGBT person, they are coming in agreement with all of that sexual perversion and the consequences thereof, okay? So this is why I tell people, don't ever say that of yourself. Don't ever say that you had COVID, you know, because the powers that be, they want you to come in agreement with their stuff. You know, just like the president's assassination or, you know, any of this other stuff that they do, they want people to come in agreement. Remember what I told you about as soon as this thing started, 16. They started prayer teams for President Trump. And they are still going today. Why do they do that? Because they want to take the Christians and have them come in agreement. That's why they want ecumenical prayer all the time. You know, let's come together in the name of faith. Drop our doctrinal differences and pray, because they want the power of agreement. Okay? The power of agreement, though, is a deadly thing. It's a deadly thing in the spirit as well as in the natural. Okay? So you need to understand that when the Bible says, "Be ye separate, come out from among her," meaning Babylon, "that you do not receive of her plagues." So when the Bible says, "Come out from among her," he's talking about the agreement of her and the system and the way they think and the way they operate. Okay? There's many ways you could look at that on, you know, how to come out of the system. All right? But the main thing is to come out of the system in agreement with your heart. Remember how Jesus in salvation is the heart. Jesus goes above the law. He's above the law. Why is that? Because now Jesus measures by the heart. It's the power of agreement. He says, "I stand at the door and knock," Revelation 3:20. "If any man hears my voice and opens that door," which means you come in agreement, "I'm opening the door. He comes in and then he fellowships with me." The same with the spirit of fear. Let's say fear is knocking at your door. And you open that door to fear. You came in agreement with the fear, with the image that's being brought before you, and you open that door so it could come on in. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? Remember what I told you about people sin based on their lust. So like people that say, you know, "I cheated on my spouse." It came a long time before they ever actually did it and actually took the step to follow that leaning, to follow that temptation, and to follow that desire of sin. And the reason is because of the power of agreement. I highly recommend a movie called Divination, Divination, and it's on, what is the name of that Christian, station, I can't think of the name of it right now, but it's on there. It's a Christian movie about spiritual warfare. You know, divination is a spirit, and it gives you a good visual of what it actually looks like. Okay? So if you can just visualize it a minute, it's like a demon standing at your ear. And it is saying, "You are ugly." And you hear this thing proclaim over you, "You are ugly." Okay? Now, you make a decision. Am I ugly or am I not? Am I going to come in agreement with this spirit or am I not? Okay? And so this is why sometimes we have to just speak to those things and say, "No, I am not ugly." You know, you come out of agreement with it. "No, I'm not ugly. You know, Jesus is my creator. They created me and I'm beautiful to the Lord." You know, no matter the way the world sees you as ugly, that is not the fact of it. That's not the truth. The truth is what does God say about it? You know, type of deal. So anyways, in the power of agreement, in the future, this is the warning from me today to you guys about this end time scenario. There is a legal term that they use, especially in the Catholic Church, and it's called affirm. They want you to affirm things, okay? And so just know that term, and what that means is they are wanting you to come in agreement, say yes or no, okay? Now, with the jab, you know, this is the controversy right now is, you know, is that the MOTB? But here's the thing, and remember we had to talk about that the other day. The thing is that every person that took it did make a choice. They came in agreement with the, now just listen to me a minute before you say, no, I know people it was forced on, but just listen to me. These people, whoever the authority was over their life, and it may have been even their self, okay, came in agreement with the system. The system is everything that is operating underneath that agreement. So like if you went to the doctor, then the, you know that the hospitals are under that agreement of this COVID. And as I saw last night, me and Dennis was like, what the world, man? Because on YouTube, it's showing how Trump and RFK Jr. are backing being vaccinated. They're now flipping their script. Can you believe it? There is no one that is backing the non-Vers. No one. And the way that the mainstream public, the main public media, the way they're presenting the questions to them is such a farce. Because I know being in the press, it's all about how you design the question. And they're like, Mr. Kennedy, what is your position on the vaccine? Are you going to hold everybody back from having protection? Is that your goal, is to make sure people are not protected? You know, instead of saying, you know, Mr. Kennedy, in the past you have, you know, kept a position of being a non-veer. You know, do you still hold that position? No, they want to make it to where it puts the idea in people's head that he's not really looking out for the public because, you know, if he's a non-veer, he's a traitor to the public. And that's the way they're putting us. When they design their questions like that, it's a stab at all non-veers. Okay? This is why for the past few years, I put it on my website. We, you know, on my news program, we are a non-veer news program. You know, because we do not support this agenda. In other words, we're not in agreement. And this is what makes them so mad. And this is why they call you a conspiracy theorist, because you are not in agreement with their lie. Why should we come in agreement with their lie? I mean, now we have, you know, a bunch of things we can throw back at them now. You know, we could tell them, well, look, even Congress ain't in agreement with you. So why do you expect me to be in agreement with this thing? You know, Congress just rolled it out and said this thing didn't work for nothing. It didn't do any good. So why should we push our kids there and our family and everything else, you know? But the point that I'm trying to tell you this morning is, and we're going to look at some scriptures having to do this, it's more than the V that's coming about the power of agreement. Because you will see in the image of the beast, every narrative that they put out there on the big screen, like right now with the drones, is such a farce. Such a farce. But the image that they're putting out there, oh, this is so mysterious. You know, what is this? Is this aliens, you know? And, you know, painting this as, you know, our government can't do anything about this. They don't know what this is. Oh, no, this is so scary. You know, this is the image they're putting out there for people to believe. But we know that it's not this. We know these are in areas that have high latency, you know, that are probably up to 10 Genesis by now. These are in big cities with big power. Them drones could not be working. These countries, these people are lying when they tell you, oh, it's Ukraine, you know, they've come over here and dropped stuff and all this. People, they don't know where the big city, you know, where the Genesis will work type of deal. These people, you know, they don't have all of the satellites in place yet to be able to do rule. You see what I mean? It's in these cities for on purpose. And like I told one of our Canadian friends who emailed me their theory about it, and they were saying that it wasn't their opinion, but they heard somebody else say that it was Iran, you know, was an attacking this. And I told him, I said, that is such a farce, you know, because they're presenting it to the world that our government is a farce, that just like they did with the Secret Service with Trump, oh, our government failed Trump, you know, they didn't protect him that day, and the Secret Service is such a farce. I know that is not true. I've already told you guys, we have the best Secret Service there is, man. They are the bomb diggity, and I believe that about our government, too. So all of this, just like on the 0106, where our government military officers moved out of the way at the Capitol and let those people go in. I saw it on video myself. I was watching it live. So, you know, if they really wanted to, they'd mow these people down. They'd mow every one of them down out there to protect the president. Our government, you know, I don't care how I feel about them, you know, about the evil and stuff that they're involved in. I mean, I know our government, and we're not stupid, you know, to all you foreigners out there. This is a stage in preparation for the next agenda, which is in unison with the global picture. Okay, so going back to what I was saying about the agreement. Okay, so let's say that they come out with that this is aliens, okay? And they're painting this image to the public that, you know, these aliens are taking over across the world and everything. This is going to be key to us as Christians on going to handle this image that's being presented. Remember what the Bible says about the mark of the beast. When they worship the image. This is all in my book, The Image of the Beast, which we are going to have a class on that. And by the way, I changed the schedule on the class because I got to thinking about the 40-day fast coming up. This first class on identity, which is full, we need to stick together to the end of the 40. Like the way I had it before is we'd stop at the 30, but we need to go ahead and finish. So it needs to be 6 weeks a class. So we'll do the first semester, we'll end the middle of February, and we'll start the next class in March. Then that will go to the middle of April, and then we'll start the next one in May. That will go to the middle of June, then we'll take a summer break, come back in August. That'll go 6 weeks till September. Start back again in October and go all the way to November and then take a break through Christmas. You know, this is all if we're still alive by the end. You know, this is just planning, you know, in case we have grace and have more time or whatever. But anyway, so over the next year, though, we're going to have a lot of instances come towards us as a church with the opportunity of them wanting us to come in agreement with the lies that they're going to be telling. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? Now, where the church is going to really be challenged is standing up against this image. Because people want to go along with the masses. It's called the collective, okay? You'll hear them talking about that all the time. You know, the collective order. That just, all that means is the unity of the world. We cannot come into unity with the beast, okay? So they'll say, oh, everybody is doing this. Why can't you do this? You have to know it's because you are choosing not to come in agreement, because you are a child of the king. You are from another kingdom. You are expected as an ambassador to have a standard. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? So no, we won't come in agreement with you lying against our God. You know, use the classic of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego here. They wanted them to come in agreement with their rules, you know, for the food and the prayer and everything. And they said, no, you know, even though the entire kingdom is doing this and everybody's in agreement but me, I'm not going to come in agreement with your lies against my God. So, well, we're just going to throw you in the fiery furnace. Well, you can throw me in there, yes, but I know my God. Now, he can save me, but even if he don't, I'm still going to serve that God, and I'm not coming in agreement with you people. And see, this is where Trump said he wants to put everybody in these camps. Now, think about it. He said he wants to put all these homeless people in camps. He calls them re-education camps. The reason is because they, the powers that be, want everybody to come in agreement. You've got to come in agreement with the beast system. This is why Trump right now is meeting, and Elon and all of them, they're all meeting with all the big tech people, the globalists, all the movers and shakers in the world. They're meeting with them right now. They have been this month because of what's about to happen, okay? They're getting everybody to come in agreement with the next era. Trump says it's the golden era, so they got to get all these people, the powers that be, in agreement with their agenda, okay? So, but for the church, you know, this next era that we're about to go into is the final one, okay? So this is going to require a stand out of us, to walk in holiness and purity and consecration to the Lord. Because, okay, let's just talk about the financial situation. You know, we've already had Miss D. She's already told you guys time and time again her situation, which I won't say here because we're recording. But she has told you that she is battling this agreement over her job. Because they're going in a direction that the whole world is going into. I mean, you know, even you guys that are texting me from all over the world about what's happening in the church. The church is coming in agreement with this beast system. You know, all these big ministries, denominations, and everything. Because they're switching everything over to this you know, cashless world and this cryptocurrency and AI, the takeover of AI. So they're all moving that way, and they're all, you know, getting the public educated right now. One thing I want to say about the drones is, even though we have all this crazy news about, what is this? Look at this. Over here, it's still educating people about drones and what they're doing. Okay? At least it's starting a conversation in our country of having drones in the atmosphere and seeing them. In other words, right now there's a bunch of chatter like, oh, what is this? And then if they come up with the system and says, that was our testing program for our, you know, policing. This is what the new police are going to, you know. At least the people were already talking about it. They were already considering, you know. So it's a way to ease people into this as well as prepare them for the alien agenda coming. Type of deal. But anyways, the power of agreement. So in this drone situation, when people ask you about it, you know, and you're sitting around, you know, the coffee table in your community and they're all talking about it, you know, they want you to come in agreement with their assertion of what is happening. And I know that, you know, over the past 5 years since all this began, one of the biggest challenges that everybody in our boat, the non-veer boat, has had is how to show and express your non-agreement with this system. It's really been a challenge, hasn't it? Because of your decision to not agree with this image, you have been cast away. You have been pushed out. You have been, even by your own families, you have been cast out. You know, in your mind, you were trying to warn them because you love them, and maybe you did it wrong, because you was a little too harsh or, you know, a little too pushy because you were so nervous or whatever, and you may have pushed them away because of that. But the point is that you did not agree with what they were pushing. Okay. So, and it was mainly due to the spiritual aspect of it. You know, who was behind it and what it involved and all that other stuff. I mean, you can't make it up that they practiced the scenario 2 months before it hit. And the same characters that were in the practice was the ones that actually wrote it out. You know, stuff like that. So, but because you chose to not come in agreement, you was targeted. Now, at this point, we don't really know, like, how much target that is, you know. We don't know what list they have of us. I mean, you know, I'm starting to get it because of my interview the other night and what I've went through since I interviewed that woman, you know. Many different things have happened since then. But it's all because we are not coming in agreement with the beast and what he wants to do to the church, to my family, to our neighborhood, you know, our country. Okay? So let's look at some scriptures. And then, all right, here we go. Now, I'm using this from Kenneth Hagin Ministries. I know that, you know, he's NAR, but a lot of the principles in there are true. So I'm going to read you his assessment of the power of agreement, because he's one of the ones that are known for speaking faith. Okay, speaking. So he says, during the Depression, a friend of mine worked for his brother in a little garage that barely had room for one car. His brother paid him $3 a week and fed him. Also, both brothers tried to help their very poor parents. One day I stopped by to see my friend and he wanted me to pray that he would get a good job. He had been dating a young lady and wanted to get married, but he couldn't do it on $3. He didn't even have any dress pants. There were hardly any jobs, but he knew God would do something about it. So I told him what Jesus said in Matthew 18:19. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything they shall ask, it shall be done to them by my Father which is in heaven. We agreed over a job and he was seeking. They called him 10 days later and he went to work for $10 a week. Soon he bought a couple of suits. Months later he got married. He stayed there until he became one of the bosses and earned a good salary. Then God called him to preach and he went into the ministry. Okay, now, the power of two. For the prayer of agreement to work, there must be two of you, and you have to be on earth. That fits us. While traveling in ministry, I once wrote my wife telling her that a pastor asked me to stay on longer. And it was nearing Christmas, and I needed extra money since I would not hold meetings during the holidays. The pastor, however, wasn't sure if his people could give anything extra. I wanted her to open her Bible to Matthew 18:19 the next Sunday afternoon and agree with me for a certain amount of money. When they took up the offering, there was $3 more than what she and I had agreed on. The next week, I wrote Aretha, telling her to do the same thing again on the following Sunday afternoon, and I would do likewise. We received $1.49 above the amount that we asked for. Aretha must be his wife. The Sunday before Christmas, the offering was about $20 short. I suggested that we count it again. I told the pastor how Aretha and I had agreed. If the money was not there, I would have to go to every church I preached in and tell them Jesus was a liar and the Bible was not true. If it didn't work, I wanted to throw it away. We counted a second time and still came up short. And I told the pastor it has to be there. And we counted again. Wow, he was brave, huh? That is funny. It was still the same. He said we would count all night until we got it. Suddenly, I remember that the pastor's wife bought a Bible from me before church. She had put the money in an envelope and included a personal offering. When I opened it, there was a $25 offering. We received $5 above what we had claimed. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done to them of my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 18:19. Okay, stand your ground. When using the prayer of agreement, I do not imply that things will come to you like ripe cherries falling from a tree. You have to stand your ground against the devil. People often fight for their rights for what belongs to them. They will lose sleep and put forth every effort. But when it comes to spiritual things, they will roll over, shut their eyes, and play dead. We need to get down to business and find out where the answer is. If I lost a valuable ring, I would carefully search where I thought I had lost it. I would get down on my hands and knees, crawling around and looking for it. When it comes to spiritual matters, I do the same thing. I retrace my steps. Many times in prayer and the Word, I go over the same ground again and again. I stand on God's Word and say, it must be so. Look at the storm in the face and say, as Paul did, I believe God, that it should be even as it was told me, Acts 27:25. The opposition will relent and the answer will come. Stand your ground. God's Word works. When we learn to pray in line with what the Bible says, our prayers will be productive. Do not put any limitations on Matthew 18:19. The prayer of agreement will work because it is God's word. You can be mighty in prayer alone, but you can be mightier when someone joins you. So isn't that awesome? Because when we all meet here on the prayer line and we all come together in agreement, then that shows how powerful that prayer is. Now, let's review some of the scriptures about agreement. Okay, here we go. Ephesians 1:11. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity to the purpose of his will. 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So basically, we are coming in agreement with his word. Acts 1:14. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. They were in unity. 1 Corinthians 1:10. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and in thought. 1 John 5:8. The Spirit, the water, and the blood, and the three are in one. You know what that, what this kind of reminds me of is, you know, there's all these different baptisms. You have the baptism of water, you have the baptism of fire, and you have the baptism of the blood. The water, the Spirit, and the blood. Pretty neat, huh? These three are in agreement. Matthew 26:28, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Now, I see that as, we have been talking about this a lot lately, about the blood and how it has the breath of God, doesn't it? So when we plead the blood, we are coming in agreement with Jesus and what he did on the cross. Hebrews 13:20. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. Hebrews 8:9. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they did not remain faithful to my covenant, and I turned away from them, declares the Lord. Hebrews 9:15. In other words, he was saying, I'm not going to be in agreement with them anymore. All right, Hebrews 9:15. For this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. Now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. See, when you get baptized as well, you know, you're coming in agreement with God and what he did. Hebrews 8:6. But in fact, the ministry Jesus has received is as superior to theirs, as the covenant of which he is a mediator is superior to the old one, since the new covenant is established on better promises. Job 31:1. I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a virgin. You know, the other day, this is so funny. You know, Dennis's chair in the living room is right on the edge of the, you know, coming in from the dining room. So when I walk in, you know, if he's doing something, I can pretty much see it or whatever. So he was on his phone and he was scrolling, and there was a girl with her butt hanging out. And you know, I had to make a comment. I said, look at you looking at that woman's butt. Man, it was, oh man, it was so funny. I wish you could have seen the look on his face, because I knew he wasn't. But it was just the fact that he was on his screen, and you know how it traps men. I mean, they can't help when this stuff pops up. But he looked at me so innocent. He goes, I was just scrolling, like, don't think I was on here looking at these women. Oh, it's funny. You would have to be there. Okay, so 1 Timothy 6:3. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not agree to the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to the godly teaching. All right, Romans 11:27. And this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. In other words, this is our agreement together. Daniel 6:11. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So Daniel was praying. That's coming in agreement. All right, Hebrews 9:20. He said, this is the blood of the covenant which God has commanded you to keep. Okay, so when we take communion, when we take the blood, which I'm excited, you know, to do that on New Year's Eve, a very special communion service. And I would love for all of you girls to wear a tiara, just like we did back in 2020 or 2022. We dressed up that night and everybody wore a tiara because we're getting ready to go in this 40-day fast, and it's going to be about the identity of the bride, because your identity is what they're after, you know. And don't think, church, that you're insignificant because, you know, you think, nobody knows me. I'm here by myself. I'm a one-person show. You know, you're in God's eyes, you are not insignificant. You know, God can use you with what you have. You know, so whatever it is that you have, Lord, you know, I don't have a car, but I have a bicycle. Lord, you know, I have no transportation. You know, I can't do this. I can't do that. I'm limited here. I'm limited there. God already knows this. But what God wants is, what do you have? Well, I have a house. I mean, I have a car. I live in my car. I have a motorhome. You know, whatever it is that you do have, you know, this is what he can work with. But if you don't give it to him, how can he work with it? Give it to him. Say, okay, Lord, you know what I have, and you know all of the situations I face, the challenges, in other words. So I give it to you. I'm in agreement with you, Lord. You know, so I want you to have what I have. It's all yours. It's not mine. And you can do with it what you want. And then watch what he will do. Okay, Daniel 11:17. He will determine to come with the might of his entire kingdom and will make an allegiance or alliance with the king of the south. And he will give him a daughter in marriage in order to overthrow the kingdom, but his plans will not succeed or help him. Genesis 26:28. They answered, we saw clearly that the Lord was with you, so we said, there ought to be a sworn agreement between us and you, so let us make a treaty. So in other words, they were saying, look, you know, we need to make an agreement here. We need to come to some sort of resolution. So we need a peace treaty, you know, basically is what that is. We need an accords, like the Abraham Accords. That's an agreement that all those countries and religions made in order to come together to make the Tower of Babel. They came in agreement. John 14:31. But he comes so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded me. So come now and let us leave. Daniel 6:15. Then the men went as a group to King Darius and said to him, "Remember, your majesty, that according to the law of the Medes and Persians, no decree or edict that the king issues can be changed." Hebrews 7:22. Because of this oath, Jesus has become the guarantor of a better covenant. Daniel 11:23. After coming to an agreement with him, he will act deceitfully, and with only a few people, he will rise to power. 2 Samuel 3:12. Then Abner sent messengers on his behalf to say to David, "Whose land is this? Make an agreement with me, and I will help you bring all Israel over to you." Very interesting. So y'all get the point of what I'm trying to say about the power of agreement, okay? In this end time scenario that we are facing with the beast agenda, that is trying to get people to come in agreement and to get people to cross over to the other side, they want you to come in agreement with them. So I'm encouraging you this morning to know this and to be ready to stand in your heart against the plots and plans of the enemy. All right, well, I guess that's about it because wait, I just thought of something else. Okay, with your children. All right, now, sometimes it's hard for us to not be in agreement with people we love because we want to keep peace. You know, so it's easier to just fold and cave. I mean, there is wisdom, don't get me wrong, you know, and knowing how to not open your mouth and how to refrain your opinion. But there are times that we cannot come in agreement. I'm just going to give you a couple of examples. All right, now let's say your kid comes up to you and says, "Hey, I've just decided I'm gonna be a rainbow color." Okay, and you love that kid, and you already know that you're on rocky ground with them anyway, and you know that they're probably telling you this because they want to shock you and they want, you know, you to come in agreement with their sin. Okay, now, something that you have to think of is the only reason that they're as far as they are with this thing is because of them coming in agreement with that spirit. Okay? So if you come in agreement with that spirit, you will be held accountable to God because you are responsible to them to be a truthful person. You're an ambassador of Christ. So if, you know, if they come to you and they say this and they're all serious and they're going to marry them and all this other stuff and, you know, they already know that you're in opposition, but they're hoping that you will support their sin type of deal. So the way to address that is you just turn around to them and you do just like I told you that day about the LGBT. Just turn around and tell them, you know, yeah, you can do that. I mean, you're a grown man, grown woman. You know, you can do what you want for sure. You know, but you will be held accountable to God and you will have consequences on the other side of that decision. You know, but for me, it goes against my principles, you know. It goes against what the Bible says, so I can't come in agreement with it, so that means that I cannot participate with you in it. I will love you, you know, and I'm definitely going to be praying for you. So the worst thing you can do is to fold your principles there. because you love your child so much you don't want to hurt them, you know, in your mind. So you end up going to that wedding. Now you're in this building with all these people that know that you're a Christian, you know. And then you're sitting there in agreement with what they are doing on the platform. Now, y'all got to remember this, whether it's a church, event, whatever this is, it's all an entity, okay? So if you are in that building, you are in agreement with that. Whatever is on the stage, because whenever you have a business, you birth it in. Like I have birthed in, this is the third one. You know, we are the Bride, Treehouse Publishers, and now Garden of Eden Ministries. You know, but I birthed them, you know, so basically you could look at that as, you know, being on the stage and you're the teacher, you're the presenter, you know, type of deal. So those people that are in the audience of these different places, agreement with this. Okay, so any of the consequences that come from that with you being there will fall back on you. Same with your kids. It's the message that you're giving them. This is what I was telling them preachers from NAR whenever I was in NAR real big. You know, they'd all say, because they all had, you know, tattoos from head to toe and stuff like that. And they would say, you know, I go into these bars every weekend. You know, but I'm in there and I'm witnessing in the bars, you know. And then I tell them, really, you know, you're in there with all them half-naked girls and everything, and you're a married man, you know. There's a lot of things that there's a problem with that. I mean, I'm not saying, you know, we shouldn't go places to witness. I'm not, don't get me wrong with that. There's a difference, you know, if you're really doing it, you know, and if you're not using deceptive tactics to be accepted. And I'm telling you, I've seen ministries do this. They will go in these psychic camps where they do all these readings and stuff. And they will put up signs on a tent and say, readings here. You know, learn about your future here. Deceptive. You know, and people go in there thinking they're at a New Age camp, you know. And then the people that's working it will tell them, give them prophecies that are positive. Don't speak anything negative. You know, the leaders will tell them. So what is that, you know, where you're actually hiding Jesus and you're actually hiding the gospel? You know, all this is saying to the people going there is that you are in agreement with this, what you see here. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? You leaving? All right, bye.
Bye.
Love you. You be safe, okay?
Both dogs are with me. They're already in the truck.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, sir. All right. Dennis is leaving. Okay, so what was I saying? Oh, about the bar. Oh, I know it don't. It is hard when your kids get older because they, you know, they have their own mind and whatnot. And now, I will say this, you know, about the agreement. I once served under a minister, you know, when I was traveling and serving all these ministries. And I'm going to give you a story. She was a preacher of a church. She had a building and everything. People came to church locally, but she only had about five in there. And so when I got there to serve her ministry, you know, I was doing this for ministries across the country. I do their live streaming. I build them a website. I would set up their social media and all that stuff. You know, what I learned in college, I would do for the church out there. So she was one of my stops. And I stayed in the church. So I would just stay in one of their offices, you know, and use their bathroom there. And, but while I was there, you know, God taught me a lot because she was disappointed she only had five people. You know, this kind of the story of me, you know, with the numbers. But her husband had just died, I don't know, I guess a year before. And she was really sad about it. So she was a widower. And so she had a lot of money. Very wealthy woman. And she had a house and a guest house on, you know, she had like 40 acres or whatever. So she had this beautiful guest house on there. And of course they had horses and all this other stuff. Well, she tells me one day, because all these ministers that I stayed with mentored me. So I learned a lot about ministry and stuff. And so, she sat me down one day. She had already told me, you know, that her daughter was gay and living with a woman in the city. She lived in the country, in the rural area. So, and her daughter, you know, had kids. And the other woman that she is with didn't have kids. Okay, so one day she was talking to me. She goes, I'm going to let my daughter move in that guest house. I was like, oh, man, she left that woman? You know, was my reaction. She's like, no, she's bringing her too. I'm like, what? I was like, what would God say about that? You know, and then she looked at me and she goes, you're not God. You know, she put me in my place because I was her servant, meaning, you know, she was mentoring me. I shouldn't have kind of bucked her that way with my opinion, you know, because God taught me when I go in these churches and I'm serving these people, my job is to be quiet and listen and learn. Not come in there like, I know, and I know more than you, and I, you know, I don't understand why you're doing it this way, and I'm going to, you know, tell you my opinion of your ministry. You know, God taught me that ain't how it works. How it works is you go in there because God has you in boot camp. You're in training. So even when there is mistakes made, you're still learning. But you need to be quiet and listen. Okay, so anyway, so I got rebuked there. And then I just told her, you know, well, I'm sorry. You know, I shouldn't have said anything. I know you're my mentor and I'm trying to learn why you make decisions the way you do type of deal. You know, it's a learning lesson. But here's what ended up happening. So I ended up leaving and getting back on the road and going somewhere. But every time I called her, it was utter chaos. I mean, she had brought chaos in that home. It was always something. It was horrible. And I felt so sorry for her, you know, and I would pray for her because I knew what she did. You know, I knew that God would never go along with that, you know. Because what she did is she came in agreement with what her daughter was doing, okay? And she brought it on her own land, which is another big no-no, okay? So what happened was, is the couple got married on that land. She went to the wedding. Terrible, terrible, terrible. You know, now she has taken that spirit upon herself. She came in agreement with that perversion. whether she does with her mouth. Like, I really don't. They know I don't agree with this. No, you sitting there is showing your agreement. And you will answer to God for that. Well, she did. Let me tell you what happened. You're so sad. All right, so she ends up going to the wedding. And what she did is this lust came on her. And she got to looking for men. So she found this man online. And she contacted him and said, hey, oh my goodness. It was one of her ex-boyfriends, and he was married. And she goes, oh, I'm so glad I found you. How you been? He's like, oh, I've missed you so much. She's like, oh, I missed you too. Well, kind of find out they used to be engaged. Okay, so she gave him up. So thus he goes out and marries this other woman. So now they've rekindled. They got back together because now she is the, you know, her husband died. So she's a widow, but he's married to somebody else. So then they start building this relationship and whatnot. And, you know, she told me about it. And I was really nervous about it, you know. And she ended up marrying him. He left his wife for her. You know, she lost her ministry and ended up, you know, going back out in the world. But she's living with a very wealthy man. You know, there's another woman that she was an up-and-coming minister, a praise and worship leader. And she was from the Chicago area. And she was good, man. I mean, she was like a up-and-coming Bethel, you know. So anointed, gorgeous as all get out, just beautiful inside and out. I ended up interviewing her because she had a huge ministry on Facebook. You know, this when I first started on Facebook, and that was actually my biggest audience even, you know, just because I had been doing it for years, and those people had followed me and, you know, saw I was legit or whatever. Before I went over to YouTube. But anyway, so she had a big group of followers, like 6,000 people who had left churches. Now, this was back in what year? 2016? Yeah, I'd say 2016. 2015, 2016. And people were leaving churches because they knew something was not right in the churches. I guess they started picking up on NAR, you know, and so they started looking online, you know, for like-minded people that started noticing something wasn't right in the church. So, they got together and she started a Facebook group for people like this, and it grew to like 6 or 7 or 8,000 people. It was huge. Well, there was another man. Oh, and I had interviewed her, by the way, and you know, she sang for us. It was when I was doing radio. And she sang for us on the radio. It was so nice. I mean, I interviewed thousands of people when I was doing radio. It was really really fun. It's really fun just interviewing everybody. It's hard being a watchman. Big difference. I really battled with God. I didn't want to go in this because people hate you. You have to speak harshly, you know. You have to speak truth that they don't want to hear. Interviews are fun and fluffy. Oh, how are you? Oh, I celebrate what God's doing in your life. Glory, hallelujah. How'd you get started? Tell us your life story. You know, all that stuff is so fun. And I loved it, you know, traveling the country and doing that. I'd go to churches. They'd sit me on the front row, treat me like a queen, take me out to dinner, you know. It was a fun lifestyle, but God changed it, you know, and said, you are my watchman. And he began to lean me towards the White House to show me, you know, first was the tour when Trump first come in. Then he sent me across the country to, you know, pray along the entire border. That's when the watchman began. the first years before that was God showing me the church and giving me an inner outer experience all through the country, like weaving me into the church, you know, into the deep parts of ministry with all these ministers across the country, you know, to show me what's really happening in churches and pastors' ministries, you know. And then it began in the politics. It didn't start that way. It started with 2013 and God telling me after I, you know, got back from London and worked for that lawyer for a year and did grad school and graduated close to the top of my class, graduated early, you know, yada, yada. But anyway, so I had big plans, but God shut it all down. And then he said, now you're going to work for me. I'm your boss. So then he shut everything down. I lost everything, abandoned by everybody. He told me no music, no TV, no radio, nothing. I wanted me and you. And he purged me, is the way I call it. You know, for 3 years, it was like that. And he said, I just want you to live every day. Let me tell you what to do. And he did. He sent me this house, this city, do this, that, you know, wearing me out. But he taught me a lot. He got all that junk out and did a lot of healing. And, you know, that first summer, I was repenting every time I turned around, you know. He would tell me something I did in the past and I'd have to face myself. Like one time I was at the lake praying and the Lord said, I want you to write on a list everybody you slept with. I was like, what? You know, are you going to make me do this? You know? And, cause I told y'all about my perverted childhood and stuff, what happened to me. So, anyway, so I'm sitting there writing on this list, you know, and I'm looking at everything I had done to myself and my temple and the perversion and what it had led to. I had to face it and look at it, not just admit I did it, repent, move on, but I mean where I really had to look at what my actions did to all these other people, you know, and to myself. And so I had to deal with this ugliness of what I had done. I was weeping like there was no tomorrow. I was crying and crying and crying. I was so embarrassed, ashamed, you know, all the things you can think of, you know. And I was asking God, forgive me, Lord, forgive me, forgive me. So when I finished, I held the list up to heaven and I said, Lord, right now, since you made me face what I have done, I am asking you to forgive me for every person I've hurt on this list, Lord. And I am saying with my mouth, I forgive every one of them. And I thank you for washing me clean of this once and for all, Lord. And you know what he told me? He said, take that list. I want you to ball it up and throw it in this little river. There's a little bitty river that was, you know, kind of just smooth riding down through there. And he said, I want you to throw it in the water and I'm going to consume it myself. So I threw it in the water. And, you know, I was thinking I'd just watch it, you know, roll on down the river. I threw that sucker in the water and a miracle happened. A beautiful wave out of the water, come up out of the water like a hand and went right over that piece of paper and took it down. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, I have forgiven your sins today from the east to the west. But see, he had to cleanse that perversion, that foul devil that had assaulted my body for all them years and had my identity as this, you know. The Lord had me deal with that in the woods, you know, and I got healed of that. But anyway, so for 3 years, he had me serve all these ministries and listen You know, he had me slow your roll and just listen, learn, watch from their mistakes, watch. And I did. I learned a lot about ministry. Remember I told you about this one church? And, you know, God showed me about the perversion there. And then sure enough, it was the way God showed me. You know, and then this one woman, I was serving a prophet. She was the first person I served. And I had served her church for 3 months. You know, I'd done it. I'd worked for her from 5 a.m. to midnight. Worked like a bone, you know. Didn't get any money or anything. But anyway, I saw the mistakes that she was making in ministry, you know, and what I thought was wrong. And I was going to tell her about it. You know, as I was leaving, I was going to kind of give her a report of what I saw, that I felt like she needed to change or she'd lose her ministry or whatever. So the morning I was going to do it, the Lord woke me up, and boy, did he rebuke me. He said, "You listen to me, woman." He said, "That woman is my prophet. I know the problem she's got." He said, "But you got problems too." He said, "Don't you go up there and say nothing. You let me take care of her. You are here for you to learn." He said, "Go up there." He said, "But I do want you to tell her something." He said, "I want you to go up there and thank her for letting you live there." Because I lived in her house in the basement. So, you know, and I remember complaining to her one time because she had me in this old bed that had these springs that would pop me in the back all the time. And I complained to her. I said, "Is there any way I can get, you know, a little mattress cover or something so the springs don't stab me in the back all night?" She got mad at me. And she goes, "Woman, you would never make it out in a bush in Africa. You going to complain about those little mattresses?" You know, because she would tell stories about how she served in Africa. And she would have to sleep in these huts way out where there's no doctors or nothing. I mean, she would have to sleep in huts and have snakes crawling on her at night, bugs. Yes. That's how them people live out there. They're, you know, to me would just be horrifying, you know. But she told me that's how it is in ministry out there. And one time she got malaria. And she prayed and told the Lord, "Lord, you know I got malaria. There is no doctor out here. I'm out in the bush, Lord. You know, either you heal me or what? I don't know what to do." So God spoke to her and he said, "Eat an orange peel." So she ate an orange peel and got healed. Isn't that something? But the point is that these ministers across the country, you know, for those first 3 years, they taught me, you know, how it was in ministry and, you know, what it was like for them and the things they were going through and whatnot, you know. But going back to the power of agreement, we cannot come in the power of agreement, you know, even if it's our kids and we love them so much, you know. I've had my grandkids, you know, come up to me and they'll be all excited about their video games, you know, and I just can't come in agreement with that because I know what these video games are doing to these people, you know, and especially a lot of, you know, older adults that are hooked on these things, they don't realize it's sucking their brain. It's sucking their mind, you know. And a lot of it's probably our fault, you know, the way we, when all of this stuff first come out, you know, our parents bought us Atari and Nintendo and all that kind of stuff, and we thought it was so cool, and then we raised our kids and bought them all that stuff, you know, Xbox 360 and all this, and, you know, but now look what it turned into. They're still addicted to it. They're grown people, you know. And so now you just tell them, I know now it's not good for you, grandson. I wish you would do more things outside or, you know, something. But anyways, the power of agreement, even when people call you, and especially now that I studied that woman I interviewed, I know now what they do on these telephones. You know, they'll call you because they're recording your voice, you know, and they want to use your voice later. So they ask your opinion. Like when you call the bank, you know, and they're like, can you read me this? Can you say this? Can you know, it's like they're wanting you to say it on the recording, you know. But just be careful when you're talking to people online and they're asking your opinion. And I've had people do this, you know, especially the bride will call and they'll, you know, tell me all this stuff. And I'm very careful about how I answer them because you never know who you're talking to. You know, they could be trapping you. You know, not all people are good, if y'all know what I'm saying. Like I told you about that guy calling me the other day and he's wanting me to come in. He's wanting me to say, you know, stuff about wearing a tinfoil hat and all this kind of stuff, you know, that, I don't know. I can't come in agreement with everything. And I'm really careful what I come in agreement with. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. So anyway, I hope I've helped you guys, you know, to be very careful about, even when you talk to the government, you know, and they're asking you questions, you know, because I'm going to be honest with you guys. You know, I've got a huge financial problem right now. Okay, so, you know, I don't get paid to do this. I just get, you know, Patreon. But so I don't have a salary. And so right now, you know, people ain't giving like they was and whatnot. So it's the rubber's hit the road. And then I've told people I'm going to do this Bible college. I'm not going to charge you. You know, and Dennis, he's like, look how much time you're going to be putting into this. You're not going to be paid. You know, so it's a. But this battle, what I'm saying is this. This, that's none of y'all's problem. But I'm just telling you what I'm facing is, you know, this battle that I have with faith. Because I see in the natural, I see this collapse. You know, I see this, a very ugly picture. You know, and the enemy talks to me. You know, he tells me, you know, people don't believe in you anymore and, you know, you've lost your flavor and, you know, he tries to tell me that it's over. You know, am I going to come in agreement with this picture that I see in front of my eyes? Because, you know, it makes you want to go into another area. It makes you want to quit. And it makes you want to get a job, you know, something to alleviate the suffering. Does that make any sense? But to me, I'm getting ready to go into a 40-day fast, so I need the Lord to move. I mean, He has provided for me supernaturally since I began this thing in 2013. I mean, the most ridiculous miracles, you know, that He has done. I just need another miracle, you know. So if y'all pray for me, I'd appreciate it. So I was talking to my friend Leah. She said, well, just ask them to give you a love offering, you know. The people that's in the class, you know, just pray about it and just give me a love offering if you ever think about it and just leave it at that. So that's the way I'm going to do it, because I already told him I would. And, but anyway, with the image that's being presented is the point that I'm trying to say, am I going to be in agreement with death. Okay, looking at this thing right here, I see death. I mean, I see it, but am I going to agree with it? You know, I have the Lord. He has provided for me all this time. He has taken care of me in the past. He knows that I've got this situation. You know what I'm saying? So what am I going to be in agreement with? Type of deal. So, whose report will you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. Whose report will you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. His report says, I am healed. His report says, I am filled. His report says, I am free. His report says, victory. Because there's a lot of you that you're looking at a lot of sickness. Kind of like, you know, my situation with the finances. You know, this sickness that you're looking at is a fact. It is what you're seeing. It is a visible manifestation of what you're seeing. But is it the truth of what is of you? The truth is what the Word says about it. What are we going to be in agreement with? You know what I mean? Like I was saying about the COVID. Okay. Are we going to be in agreement with the symptoms that you're looking at, with this image that's being placed before you? Or are you going to say, I rebuke you, I renounce you, I don't come in agreement with you? The Bible says that I am healed. That's what I'm standing on. I rebuke you, I reject you. You see what I mean? It's a mindset. And this is how I've had to make it all them years. I mean, I told you guys the story of Louisiana that time that they offered me a job. You know, I was going to make $100,000 a year. And I was tired of suffering and being without money. You know, walking by faith, living by faith, 100%. And I walked in this house of these people I went to Bible college with. And they were pretty wealthy. And, you know, they said, hey, we got you a job making $100,000 a year, you know, doing what you went to school for, communications. You know, you would be the director of communications, biggest church in their town. And they said, you'll be driving a brand new car, too, the church's car. And I was like, well, you know, I'm traveling right now, kicking off television because I had been doing radio for a while. And then I got to thinking about, maybe they're right, you know, because they were saying I could do both. And I was like, oh, it'd be so nice to do what I've been trained to do and get paid for it. So I went to bed that night. I'd applied for the job. I went ahead and said, all right, let's do it. So I went to bed that night. And old Jesus came to see me in a dream. You know how he does when he rebukes me. So he came to me in a dream, and he said, listen here, woman. He said, I did not call you to do that. He said, you cannot do that. You have to leave this house and go on with your bad self. You know, you have to continue down this road. You know, I have a planned destiny for you. So I repented. So I got up the next morning. I was going to go tell her. The Lord came to me in a dream, told me I can't do it. Sorry. You know. Well, I walk in the kitchen, she's cooking breakfast. She's just a bawling. I mean, crying her eyes out. I said, what is wrong with you? She goes, the Lord with me all night long over you and told me I have to let you leave this house because you are his and he has a plan and everything he told me when he set me down. Oh, I'm so sorry. Will you please forgive me? I was just trying to help you. I feel sorry for you. I said, no, No. I said, no worries. I was feeling the same way you was, you know. But the Lord, he came to me in a dream last night, too. So he told me I have to go. I said, but I do need a lighter. I need some post-it notes. And I need a hammer. And I need some nails. She's like, all right. Because she had a 6-foot wooden cross in her driveway. So the Lord told me in the dream how to do this. He told me, I want you to go out there at that cross this morning. I want you to nail your life on that cross. I said, yes, sir. So I get out there, and I take his blanket, you know, and I lay it down in front of the cross, and I'm thinking, this is so weird, you know, and I got the tissues down there. And so I took the first post-it note, and I wrote on there, I want a job. You know, because I love to work, you know, and I went to school all them 7 years, you know, and I wanted to be able to make a lot of money. That's why you do this, you know. And so I put that first thing on there. I want a job. So I put it on the cross, at the top of the cross. So I put that nail on there. Pulled back with the hammer, and I went to swing on that nail. And when I did, I had a flash of Jesus on the cross. And then I was like, I am whining about not having a job and suffering, and Jesus died on the cross for me. What are you doing? Bam! Bam, bam, bam. I'm nailing that on there, and I start bawling. I was like, you know, feeling like, you know, look at you whining about your suffering. So then I took the next one. My family rejected me. Put that on the cross. Put that hammer on that nail. Bam! Bam, bam, bam. You know, my church rejected me. Bam, bam, bam. People mocking me and making fun of me. Bam, bam, bam. You know, by the time I got done with all my sorrows, I had that cross covered from the top to the bottom with my sorrows. I knelt down on that blanket, and I wept and wept and wept. I cried till I had the biggest pile of tissues there. I mean, snotty tissues. I was repenting to the Lord. I had to die. That's why God had me face the cross. Because I had to die. There was too much of me still alive. And I had to die. That's the only way you can live this life of faith. I'm being convicted right now. I probably need to go do this right now. Next week when I'm off, I am going to be having this encounter with God. Because I do need to deal with this. Anyway. So you have to die. Okay, so I died that day 1,000 deaths. And so the Lord spoke to me. He said, now I want you to take those tissues. I want you to go over there. And he told me where to do it. He said, I want you to catch them on fire, and I'm going to consume this myself, just like he told me about the river. I was like, okay, you know, weird. And so I go over there, and I try to do within my own mind, you know, how I can get everything to burn with all that snot. So what I did is I put the tissues on the bottom. And then I took all the post-it notes and I put them on the top. So I caught the post-it notes on fire, and then I went over there and sat on the porch, and I'm watching it burn. Honey, I want you to know, when that thing caught real good, there was a funnel cloud that come out of heaven and went like this. And that sucker disappeared. He took that entire stack as an offering. My tears, my snot, everything was an offering. And he took it. And the Lord spoke to me right there. He said, your repentance has brought you the nations from the north, south, east, and west. That's what he said. But see, it took a death. All those things that I nailed on the cross, I was in agreement with. I was in agreement that I wanted a job, and I was just miserable without having a job. You know, I was out here, and I'm just venting to you guys, letting you know how I felt then. I'm out here serving all these preachers, you know, and I'm not getting paid for this, and I'm using a college education to do this, and they're dogging me. Like this one guy, it was in Mississippi, is Kimberly on here. This is one negative towards Mississippi, young lady. But anyway, I was serving this guy in Mississippi, and I was working for his church and working all day long in the office, you know, answering his phones and doing all his social media and everything, trying to build up his church. And one day I was so hungry. And I asked him, Pastor, can you please just give me $5 so I can go down here to McDonald's and get a hamburger? I have been working all day and I'm so hungry, sir. And he looked at me and chewed me a new one. Woo! He ripped me a new one. Yes, he did, in front of everybody there. And he said, I thought you told me you wasn't going to charge me nothing. I said, I did say that. I said, I don't have any money or anything, and I'm hungry. So he didn't give it to me. But that's what I'm talking about. You know, the way people look at you because you're in ministry and you don't have money and they look at you as a less than. It's a humility thing. It's a where you have to really humble yourself. Like even when you tell them, look, guys, you know, I need a wood stove because my lungs are hurting and I'm preaching to you guys every day. I need my lungs. So all I'm asking you for is $360. Can y'all please help me? You know, it's the humility of it and having to ask, you know, when I could be working, you know. So on that day on the cross, you know, that's how I felt. And when I was nailing it to the tree, you know, I was like, I really want a job. Because when you have a job, it's different than ministry because your job, you have a security. You know, you have this, it's kind of like the law. You know, you give and take and you know the results. It's an ease of conscience, you know, because you do this and you get that, you see. But in ministry, it's not that way. You know, when you're living by faith, it's just whenever God... It's whenever God shows up, you know, ever how he wants to do it, you know. But I do admit, this is the better way, you know, to obey God is the better way. I mean, and he will have people working, don't get me wrong. It's just my lot in life. He says it has to be this. But anyhow, so I had to die on the cross that day. But he said, your repentance has brought you the nations from the north, south, east, and west. And boy, have I seen that come to pass. Because my life, through all everything that I have been through, really has touched the nations from the north, south, east, and west. And even now that I've switched over to the Goem website, I've only been doing it a month or 6 weeks. I think it said I'm up to like 30,000 now, you know, where people are hungry. These prayer calls, yes, that's where it's at. These people are listening from all these different countries, even China. I couldn't believe it. But it's because these people are hungry for the truth of, you know, what's going on, and with God, too, and to have somebody that's actually dealing with what's happening right now. I mean, when you look at these NAR preachers and how they talk and they actually avoid what is happening, I mean, what a farce. They're not even talking about the elephant in the room here, you know, and they see, like, even the ones that partner with President Trump, they see his allegiance to Elon, and they still think it's okay to partner with this. There's not any person, I don't think, that could see Elon and not see him for who he is. I mean, if you've paid any attention. You know, naming his kids after AI, having kids with all these women, wearing Baphomet clothes, much less what Shalom Girl said. You know, but even just on the big picture of it, you would know he's not trustworthy at all. This is like dealing with Satan himself. You know, and these people are still, it's like what the Lord told me, the ark door is closed. These people, their minds are made up. And that's why Trump can now, you know, partner with all these big globalists and everything, and nobody cares anymore. Type of deal. But anyway, there was one other story I wanted to tell you, and then I'll be done, about the power of agreement. Hold on. Here's one. When I was in Washington, D.C., you know, I was going to the Trump balls and everything, and I was really enjoying it because God showered me with blessings up there, because the church saw what God was doing, you know, that he had supernaturally put me in the White House. Anybody with any common sense would know that's a miracle. That is a miracle, you know. And the fact that I could prove everything I was saying, I was in there every day. And I was live every day, you know. You know. So people out there started blessing me. I mean, they were mailing me business suits and, you know, mailing me, this one woman gave me a whole wardrobe of clothes, you know. So God, I went up there, I told you, with one suitcase with a few things in it and my computer. And I got up there and God filled my closet, gave me a beautiful apartment. And I asked him, Lord, I want a 2-bedroom apartment so I can house your people, you know, the prophet's room. And he did, and he gave me beautiful clothes. And one night I had a dream, and the Lord showed me somebody knocked on my door. I went to the door, and they handed me car keys. Remember, God told me to give away my car after the 2017 tour. So he made me live in that house for a whole year without a car, because he wanted to show me, I will take care of you in the desert. You know, and he did. He proved himself. I had to know that, really, before he could just send me to Washington, D.C., for me to get dropped off the bus and sit there and say, okay, now what? You know, I had to know that, okay, you know, God is going to just take care. We just trust him today. He's going to take care of every day, day by day by day, you know. And so one day, 6 months later, I got a knock on the door. I opened the door, and there was a couple standing there. They drove all the way from Texas to give me a car and said, God told us to give you this car. And they drove it all the way up there. Paid for my taxes, was like $1,500 or something. Paid for my tags. Yes, they hooked me up. And then they drove back to Texas, you know, because she followed him up there with the vehicle. And they told me, you know, they said, you know, we know that this is not probably what you want, because it was a little bit of an older van. But, you know, at least you have something up here, you know, it can get you around, whatnot. So it was very nice. And then I did end up trading it in. You know, after I left there and went to Atlanta, and I started driving for Lyft, and which I did learn a lot about Atlanta when I did that. But anyway, that's when I started learning about infrastructure. That was my training on the infrastructure, is when I when I worked in Atlanta. But anyway, so I was going to all them Trump balls and everything, and I was going to the country club at the Republican thing, and Trump Towers, where everything was at. You know, if you want to know anything, go to Trump Tower. And you see them evangelicals there all the time having meetings, you know. I mean, that's where the meetings were happening. So one day, you know, I had befriended a bunch of these very wealthy women. Okay, so they just loved me and whatnot. So one day they called me and they said, we want to offer you something. I said, okay, what? They said, we love your mind. This is the same thing my professor told me back in when I was in graduate school. I was actually working for him, the corporate communications office. I was a graduate assistant. And so he told me, he said, you're a genius in your mind. He said, but your religion holds you back. Because remember, he wanted to send me to become a professor because I was teaching Bible college classes there for the undergrads from the graduate level. And so he wanted me to become a professor, but God told me no, and he didn't like me ever since then. So now this woman is telling me the same thing in Washington, D.C. She goes, your mind is a genius, but we need to get you away from the religion. We need to, you know, have you stop saying bride, and we want to give you a whole media company. So, and we want you to run it. So what we're going to do is we're going to buy you all new equipment and give you a studio here in D.C. I mean, it was like the devil truly just set me up on the mountain, you know. And these were people that were friends with President Trump. You know, we're talking in the circle, okay? And, you know, I was going to be doing stuff for President Trump in this media. Well, I prayed about it. And the mentor I had at that time, I was talking to her about it. And I said, will you pray for me? She says, yes, I'll pray. Now, she knew those ladies I was talking about because she just flew to D.C. She was from Texas. She just flew to D.C. to be with me, and I took her in the White House so she got to, you know, walk around and see the press corps and all this, you know, and pray for the president where I always did and all this kind of stuff. And she had met all these ladies, you know, because we went to Trump Tower and stuff like that. But anyway, so she, or Trump Hotel. So she knew who I was talking about. So she knew the serious offer this was. You know, it was just such a setup. So I had a dream that night. And God spoke to me. And he said, you cannot leave the bride. He said, she, remember when I told you that you take care of her, and she will take care of you. See, I work for God, but y'all are the ones that he uses to bless me for doing this. And that's what he told me. So the next morning, I called them people, them women. I said, well, I need to tell you guys something. I said, I do appreciate the offer and everything, but what y'all don't understand is, this is a very real people I'm talking out here. When I say the bride, it's a very real entity. It's God's people. And they're the ones that brought me here. You know, they take care of me. So you may not understand it, or the powers that be may not understand me being so small and all this stuff. But, you know, I would just rather wait on the Lord and see what he's going to do. Type of deal. I want you to know, within 6 months, that whole group that did that to me lost it all. God got them back from trying to take his woman. It's the way I looked at it. But anyway, so I had already told them this, and then my mentor calls. And she goes, I want to tell you something, woman. Yes, she did. She goes, I'm going to tell you something. I've been praying about this, and I am so mad. I can't believe those Philistines would come up against you like that and even dare to try to pull you off the mountain. You know, that's what she said. She goes, how dare them, you know, put down what you do and everything. And so she said, I'm telling you right now, God wants you to stay on that mountain, woman. And I told her, I said, I've already called them and told them. I said, God already gave me a dream, so I already know, you know. And so that was pretty cool. But the power of agreement, though. This image that these people painted for me is something that the enemy was already taunting me about. Because I'm at the White House, standing in between the bush that the bride named the Burning Bush. Because I was pushed out from the rest of the press corps, because I'm the low man on the totem pole. I was the new one on the block, you know. So I had to stand where there was an available space, and there is just no space there. You know, first of all, the press corps in there is so small. There's only like 40 people, which tells you the miracle out of the probably millions of different media out there that God chose me to be a part of the 40. I mean, really, think about how big this is, you know. And so I'm standing there, and the only place that was available, it was between two bushes. So one day I went, when I was live, I said, Brad, I'm going to show y'all something. I'm going to show you what I have to go through out here to do the news to you guys. And I turned the camera around. I said, you see them two bushes right there? I said, that's where I have to stand. That's where they put me. And they said, no, you got the burning bush. I can't believe it, you know. So we always called it the burning bush. But anyways, but the power of agreement, though, I could have come in agreement with those women. I had the opportunity to partner with my temptations in my heart to want to jump off the mountain and jump over into a more glorious looking greener pasture. You see what I'm saying? The power of agreement. Am I going to come in agreement with this devil, you know, talking in my ear? You know it's better over there. You know you could have this over there. If you would just do this, you know, opposite of, you know, where your situation is now, this mountain that, and this goes for all of you guys, the mountain that you're facing, this image that's before your life, you know, the agreement of, am I going to agree with this? You know, one time, Mom, right before she died, I took her down to Texas to go through deliverance with Dr. Morris. And she went down there, and she had this sore on her leg. And she said, oh, y'all hold on a minute because Joe is talking, or whatever she had named it. But she had named that sore. Because your pain, your sickness, your circumstances, your lack, your hurt, your pain, whatever this is, this mountain, this image that is before you is talking to you. Okay, so my mom had named it, this pain. Dr. Morris quickly rebuked her, and he said, now, ma'am, let me just explain to you what you just did. And he told her. He said, you are now in agreement with this sickness. You have named it. You have said, oh, I agree, you know. You're taking over my body. You have rights here. You know, I'm in agreement with what's your sickness. You know, I'm petting you like a little pet. So he told her, he said, what you need to do is you need to renounce that thing. You need to say, I don't come in agreement with this image that you're trying to paint here and trying to get me to give up and quit. And there's probably a lot of you out there that may be feeling this way as well. Because of your sickness and your pain and your mountain that you're looking at and what you're living in and what you're suffering in and what you're facing, this image, this is trying to get you to come in agreement and act upon that image. But see, in this hour, some people act on it and they kill themselves. Some people act on it and they go out and do something stupid. They go out and have sex outside of marriage. They go out and just have sex with somebody. They go out and they go partying and drinking. You know, they act out in their pain because they're in agreement with this image. But see, we have to look at this image that is being painted over us, and we have to speak to this entity. This lack that's looking at us, this anger and hurt and this image that's there, and we have to speak to it and say, in the name of Jesus. So everybody just repeat after me. Whatever your image is, and whatever your mountain is that is speaking to you and trying to get you to quit and trying to get you frustrated and wearing you out and beating you down and has messed with you for years and all this, we're going to deal with this thing right now, this image, okay? We're going to come out of agreement with it today. Glory, hallelujah, in Jesus' name, okay? So here we go. Say, just point your hand. And have this like you're pointing it right at this visual of this image that's being painted of your circumstances right now. You ready? Say, in the name of Jesus, I speak to you, and then call it out what it is. You lack, you finances, you sickness, you burdens, you rejection, you anger, you wrath. Whatever this is, this image, you know, whatever this is, you call it out. I renounce you. I am not in agreement with you. I don't accept this image. I command you to leave this house right now in Jesus' name. Because the Bible says, I am blessed. I am a child of the Most High God. I am the healed of the Lord. I am the free of the Lord. I am loved of the Lord. I am called of the Lord. I am blessed of the Lord. I am the daughter of the King. I am the son of the King. I have more than enough. I have more that is for me than is against me. As David says, why so downcast, O my soul? My spirit man, I speak to you right now. Rise up in Jesus' name. My soul, I speak to my soul. Do not be discouraged, but trust thou in the Lord. Have faith in the Lord. He knows me, and he knows what I'm facing. And I'm in agreement with my King. I plead the blood of Jesus over this image. And I am telling you right now, you got to come under submission to the Word of God. Because I am in submission to the Word of God. In Jesus' name, I have the victory. Amen. See, now I've come in agreement with heaven. All of this that's looking at me right now, that is trying to devastate my heart, devastate my soul, I'm casting it down and I'm choosing to have the image of God before me. Like I said, whose report are we going to believe? Because in the very near future, there's going to be before your eyes. And you're going to have to make choices on whether you will bow to that image. Right now we see the Trump image is rising. Pictures on billboards. Statues going up. Stores going in on the interstates. Trump stores. Everything being named after Trump now. You know, the image of the beast is truly here. But the thing about us is, how we react to this image out here is where we're going to be judged by God. Because we are the light of the world in a true way. We are the ambassadors of Christ. So we walk in a certain level and in a certain manner. So we don't, when we're with other people and they're talking about the image, do not ever come in agreement with them. Even though you may feel under pressure because there's so many that is agreeing with it, do not stand your ground, even if you're the only one there. Because let me tell you something. Some people actually only come in agreement because everybody else is. They're cowards. You know, they can't see themselves alone. They want to go with the flow, but we're past that. You can't do that anymore. But there are other people that are. So when you stand up for truth, the real truth and nothing but the truth, like yesterday, when you stand up for the truth and the real image, you know these people are just being lied to by the devil. But there may be somebody watching you that is in their agreement over there that needs somebody to stand up so that then they would have the courage to cross over to your side and to say, you know, I really thought that too, but I was too afraid to say it, you know. So just be the leader and speak the truth, you know, knowing that the truth is what sets you free, you know. So basically that's it for today about the power of agreement, because in the future, when they do the alien, you know, let's just use this story, the alien invasion. Now, the media is going to convince everybody that this is aliens, you know. Then you're going to have the church partnering with them. Now, let me tell you something. I saw a video of Elijah's List guy, Steve Schultz, interviewing Charlie Shamp. Now, I've interviewed Charlie before. You know, he's a big-time prophet. And this guy, Schultz, was asking him, do you believe that this alien, is this aliens or what? And Charlie quickly told him, no, this is a farce. This is a deception. That guy cut him off. That interview quit real quick. So they told me, oh, my Lord, you're kidding. Surely NAR is not going to come in agreement with these aliens. But it let me know how very serious this is of what's coming. And so in that case, I'm proud of Charlie. You know, he stood up to this major media guy and he tells him, no, this is a farce. We don't come in agreement with these aliens. You know. So I'm really encouraging you guys in the coming days, because they're going to be putting all these false narratives out there that you need to stand up for the truth. All right, so that's all I have for today, and I pray For everybody that's listening to this later, you know, I pray that you guys will have the courage. If you're living in situations where it's hard to stand up for the truth, I pray that, you know, God will help you to have the courage to do that. And another thing, just to clarify again about the Bible College, is we're doing a 40-day fast, and this is for everybody. We're not signing up this year. For anybody who wants to join, starting January 1st, we're actually starting the night before. On New Year's Eve, we're doing a service at 10 o'clock, and that kicks it off. And then we're doing 40 days, you know, seeking the Lord and whatnot. These prayer calls will be in that vein for 40 days. So usually I cut the prayer calls off to people only in the fast, but I'm not doing that this year. Because of it being Trump and whatnot, it's going to be full-blown open. All right, so because of that, this first class, which is full, is going to go, instead of 30 days, it's going to go the full 40 days, so it'll be a six-week class. And then when I got to looking at it, I thought, okay, so now I have a better picture of how this is going to be structured. So we're going to do 6 weeks classes each. So we'll do one January to the middle of February, and then we start March 1st to the middle of April, start May to the middle of June, and then we take a couple of months off, come back in the fall, and then we'll do August until September, October to November, and then off for Christmas. Now, of course, this is if the world is still going by then and all this, you know, if everything is still able to. So, to all of you as well that's in the Bible College, we're doing our welcoming night. We'll be on a Zoom call on the 1st. So January 1st at 6 p.m. we'll do a welcome. And everybody will get to meet each other and all that kind of stuff. Okay, so. All right, so that's all I have. Let me stop the recording and then I'll open up the prayer line. I want to say this publicly based on something that I learned last night watching President Trump. All right, President Trump and RFK Jr. was talking about the vaccine. They were being pressured by the media, you know, about the vaccine. Are y'all going to stop us, you know, from getting vaccines because whatever? And, of course, they backed up and said, oh, no, we support vaccines, and especially the polio vaccine. Okay. Now, the reason I believe that was significant is because of what's coming with the monkeypox, okay? Remember on the news I was telling you guys about monkeypox actually comes from LGBT lifestyle, kind of like AIDS. And it's really bad down in Africa. So President Biden sent a team of doctors down there this summer to help them. And we talked about this. Are they doing that to bring it back here? Okay. And now I guess they come back and now it's back here in the United States. Now, the thing about the monkeypox is that it is highly contagious. And the way that it is because of like the polio vaccine. All right. Now, the polio, they will, you know, jab you with like 12 different needles in a circle. Well, it's the same way with this shot, the monkeypox. And they jab you like 12 different times those needles. Now, they said that until those holes scab up, which could take, you know, a couple of weeks. Now, my friend who's a naturopath said that's a lie, you know, because she knows that, you know, they can shed up to 6 months. But anyway, but they said whenever the holes scab up, it will no longer be shedding. But it does for sure up until the holes get scabbed. So then you got to ask yourself, okay, why do you not quarantine these people? I mean, if it's really this bad and you know that these things, these little nanobots in there, are coming out of these people and crawling to the nearest person and going in them, why would you not quarantine these people? You know, it makes no sense if this was real. You know, but even if it was real, if you had nanobots, if you know you're releasing nanobots in a human, why would you not do better security protocol, you know? But anyway, so it's highly contagious because of this. So then somebody else gets it, and then somebody else gets it, you know, and it just passes on. But the thing about that is it is one of them hemorrhagic deals, you know, a pretty dangerous thing type of deal. But that's the reason that I believe that they brought up the polio vaccine. Because it brings this image to your head of the scars on your arm of those holes in a circle. Because that is what it is with the monkeypox vaccine. Okay? Now, we all know, let's talk about this a minute. So let me recap, though, going back to the other vaccine. Okay, so now the person is taking the vaccine, they're being monitored, they're putting their family at risk, and then when they die, according to this new nurse that I'll be interviewing, when they die, they're still alive. That those things on the inside of them stay that way. They're still alive in there. They're still moving around in the body. They're still reporting back to the beast. So, which means that their Bluetooth number, which means their cattle ID, is still activated in the grave. Okay, so let me see. Okay, so that goes back to the theory of it being the mark of the beast. Okay, because if you look at the criteria of what is the mark of the beast, you know, it's nothing like the way we were trained, that the mark of the beast would be them walking up to you, say, you denounce Jesus or you die, you know, and then we get our heads chopped off. But it's not that way, is it? It's not that way. It is subtle, like the snake is. Which reminds you of Trump's poem, you know, you knew I was a snake and you let me in. It's subtle. So what they did is they put a big fear campaign on to the world and told them, you either take this or you're going to die. You either take this or you'll lose your job. You take this or you're going to put your family's health in danger. You know, so it brought all these decisions that people had to make. You know, and a lot of them had to choose their jobs. A lot of them lost their families because their families said, you know, listen, if you don't take this thing, you're not coming near me. You know, so the pressure hit everybody every which way but loose. And they had to decide, you know, am I going to take this thing or am I not? And am I going to risk? Because I think most everybody heard, you know, people say they thought it was the MOTB and they thought it met the criteria and, you know, that they thought it was not good to take it. So I'm sure that most everybody was warned from the way I understand, you know, because most people did go warn their families, you know, went and told their families, don't do this, it's not good, these people doing this are globalists. You know, this is a part of the beast system, the one world order, you know, type of deal. And plus, by this point, many people had already learned, you know, that there is a huge possibility that these people that have kids that are autistic is from the vaccine, you know. And even RFK Jr. talked about that, which now he's backing off that as well. You know, which is how they do when they get up there. But the point is that so most people, you know, have already seen the harm come to people because of the vaccine. So thus they wouldn't take it. Or they just listen to God and God told them not to take it. You know, and So there's a whole group of people out there that really do believe this is the mark of the beast. And here's their reasons for believing that way. One is who brought it in. Number two is the world being in unity. You know, the beast, the powers that be, they were all in unity for everybody to get this thing. And they paid you to do it. They, really forked out the money, the reward system and everything to bribe people to do it and all this. And then, the fact that it wasn't really tested and all that kind of stuff. But not only that, it's, going in and with the CRISPR technology, because now we can research everything. What it did with the CRISPR technology and cut out, God's name out of the book, the scroll, and then it put in Lucifer's code. Now you have a Bluetooth, and now you're marked for the rest of your life. And, so you're no longer human, you're transhuman. There's a difference. And so the image of God has been removed. I mean, I'm telling you why people believe it's the mark of the beast. What is the mark? I've tagged you. You're now a token. I own you. How do I own you? I have a patent. I have a legal right in the earth. I have taken it, But you chose it. You gave it. So that's why the people believe this. Okay? So, these people that believe that are under a lot of persecution because they're making them look like they're crazy, Because although all these millions of people have died, and it's like the people can't put the two and two together, because now whenever people die, the first thing that comes to a non-V-er's mind is, did they take the V? I met a woman yesterday at the post office. She was telling me she's having all these heart problems. And I had to come out and ask her, ma'am, did you take the V? She goes, yeah. She goes, I did, but, I had all these problems before I took it. I was like, oh, Lord. Because we know it exasperates the problem, type of deal. But anyways, and the fact that they're still doing it, they're still requiring it, and now, you got President Trump and Elon, all the big globalists on the stage, who are about to step on the stage in a few weeks, and they're going to do part two and three to the global ID, which is the servanthood. Right now, they're tagging the cattle, okay? But the next step is they're going to require the obedience of everybody to come together in the herd. The obedience and the servanthood, okay? So they're going to be gathering up the cattle, begin, going forward with their herds. Really, that's the best way to put it, because what is the carbon credit score? It's a way to punish you. It is charging you to live, And then the social credit score, which, they just announced last night that Elon just about has this app ready, so it may be sooner than we think, because this app, I didn't realize I was still being recorded. It's all out there now, but this app, this everything app, he's almost got it ready. And this is the global ID on a stick, because this is where they'll measure your carbon. You'll see your score. The social credit score is where... the same thing China's been doing. They were the testing country for that. But the social credit score is where everybody will be judging each other, And where, like, if you do a transaction with someone, like, say you, you know, sell somebody a TV or something, they will rate you just like you do on Amazon or any other purchase you do or stay. And they'll be rating you, so that's the social credit score. This is how they keep people in the hive mind. The agreement. Boy, this is a good way to end this broadcast today. They get everybody in the collective consciousness to come in agreement through the social credit score. Because if you get out of line, you will be punished by the court of public opinion. The social credit score is the court of public opinion. What do these people tell you that you need to be and what you need to be doing? And what is the world's agreement on a matter? That is the social credit score. So if you're outside those realms, you will get bad scores and you will be punished. You will not have rights to shop. You won't have rights to a car, to ride around town. You won't be able to do nothing. You will be punished. You know? So you got part two and part three coming very, very soon. So it's 1, 2, 3, strike, you're out, you know. But part one is the base. It's the mother lore. It's the motherboard. This is what they're calling the human-centered design. When they say the whole of community approach, like when I interviewed that lady the other day from FEMA, when they say whole of community, whole of government, you know, they're talking about the collective, the group, everybody working together, you know, to make this deal happen. But here's the thing of the church. This is where it leaves us, okay? We are the castaways in this situation because we cannot go into the global ID. We just can't. You know, like my book called The Image of the Beast, which we're going to study in that Image of the Beast class, in the logo class. In the Image of the Beast, you have, you know, this image that they want you to believe and to go by. If you don't fall within the parameters of that image, you're going to pay a big price. You know, this is why the media is swaying this way. This is why the church is swaying that way with them, because they're influencers. You know, they are ambassadors of the beast. You know, I'm talking about the NAR and the Freedom Force. They are working with the beast, like I was telling you about Hank Kuhneman. I almost want to do just an emergency live today to show everybody that prophecy he did yesterday. That did nothing but prepare people for the Noahide loss. Such an everlasting deception. Oh, the Great Reset's here. Ah, they're going to change the educational system. Ah, they're going to, you know, change all the curriculum, and this is all God. They're going to put everything back under the Ten Commandments and yada, yada. But that's all that is. It's the Noahide laws, this new order that they're bringing in. And he also talked about how, you know, all these people in Congress are going to get filled with the Holy Ghost, and all these people on Capitol Hill and in D.C., so it reminds me of that woman I interviewed. What'd she say when we was talking about Trump? She gave us a big clue, didn't she? Because she said, you wait until that Saul conversion happens. In other words, there's going to come a day when all these people are going to have the spirit of Kundalini in them. And they're going to be acting like it's the biggest global revival you ever seen. And if the people can't see what it is now, they may get swept in. Because you look on YouTube right now, you see a lot of the you know, a lot of their convincing shows, you know, where they're convincing you all this revival's happening all over the country. If they don't know that the Catholic Church is behind this, the Catholic Church is doing this revival. It's a 3-year project. And they're doing this in Jerusalem, acting like Israel's all in this thing. What a farce. It is. It's all ecumenical. It's a faith. Remember that word faith. It's ecumenical. When they say, oh, we're, you know, we're having all faiths come together. Let's get together in the name of faith. You know, all that is just ecumenical, people. You know, it's not Jesus. The Jesus that we know that is holy and pure and righteous, the right righteous, holiness, you know, the white, the beautiful, the glorious, the Lamb, you know, that was slain. He does not mix. I have fought this thing for 10 years now about mixing. You know, I remember back when I first started seeing things back in 2015 when I started radio. And I started telling people, you know, God does not mix. He does not endorse perversion. I don't care what these pastors are telling you people, you know. But now the beast is so ugly, it's so overtaken everything, you know, and it is what it is at this point. But, so anyways, the power of agreement, I'm going to end this today. The power of agreement is this. You cannot come in agreement with the image that the beast is putting out there because he wants an action from you. What are you going to do? The solution to the problem that he's bringing, okay? He wants you to say yes, and he wants you to step over into the solution that he's providing for the problem that he created, the chaos. So we have to be assured in who we are in Christ that we know I ain't partnering with that thing. I don't care what kind of name you slap on it. I am not going to partner with that. I am not going to, you know, step into the metaverse, which is what y'all want me to do. You want me to go into this decentralized world, which is nothing but defiance and rebellion. I'm not stepping into that thing. I'm not putting nothing that you're offering me into my body, no matter how much money you try to pay me, how you try to bribe me. You know, I'm not doing it, and I'm not going to participate in this image of the beast. I'm not going to worship the number of his name. I'm not going to take his mark, you know, and I'm not going to worship the image. So, thus, you're on the outskirts of society, and we're going to see the, you know, the consequences of that decision very soon. Okay, so God bless.